The good news of God's love according to Luke.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the scribes and the Pharisees were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable.
Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So, clearly, there is not a person on earth with whom Jesus would not be delighted to share a meal. He will sit down and dine with self-righteous religious leaders, and he will sit down and dine with people judged to be the scum of the earth. Back in first century Galilee and Judea, sin was thought to be contagious. Sinners had to be avoided, or else they could turn you into a sinner. Jesus compares people judged and shunned as sinners to precious things that have been lost. It isn't God who lost these so-called sinners, it's God's people, losing sight of human beings and turning them into problems and threats. Jesus actually tells three stories about the lost being found. His stories about a sheep and a coin are then followed by our old favorite, the prodigal son. And although he talks of there being rejoicing over repentance, Jesus never says that there needs to be repentance before we can be brought home. The prodigal son prepares a big repentance speech, but his father smothers him with hugs and kisses before he can even say it. And let's face it, sheep and coins are incapable of repenting. Did you ever think about that? So this isn't about us having the sense to turn to God. It's about realizing that God has never turned away from us. These are not stories telling us how much we need to repent. They're telling us we need to trust in the God who rejoices when we are found. But how are we to reconcile places in the Bible where God responds to human sin with compassion and mercy to places where God responds with violence and retribution? Does God's attitude towards sinful human beings change? Or does our understanding of God change? Are we the ones who assume that God is angry with us? Do we interpret events as rewards or punishments from God based on our behavior? While the words of Scripture are inspired by our search for God, Jesus is the Word of God in human flesh. Jesus is our best representation of who God is and of what God does. Jesus seeks out sinners and draws them into relationship with him. So if a passage of Scripture describes God's violent reaction to human sin, our trust needs to lean toward the words and actions of Jesus. If that's the case, then why does the book of Exodus describe God having a violent anger? Well, I can think of a few possibilities. One is that Exodus was written by human beings who projected human anger onto God. Human beings would respond to betrayal with violent anger, so wouldn't God do the same? Another possibility is that all of the Bible's descriptions of God's anger are a way of trying to describe God's agony. Human sin causes God to suffer. God feels all of the pain we cause to one another. An even more intriguing possibility, though, is that this conversation between God and Moses isn't really about sin at all. God is assessing Moses' loyalty to God's plan of salvation. God says, "Leave me alone so I can stir up some righteous indignation against these people." And Moses refuses to do so. God gives Moses credit for rescuing his people, and Moses says, "No, God, you are the only one strong enough to rescue your people." Does Moses need to remind God of who God is? Or does Moses need to remind himself so that he has the strength to keep working with these stiff-necked, fear-driven people? Their choice to worship a golden calf is a lot like Adam and Eve choosing to eat some forbidden fruit. Both are substitutes for the much harder task of placing our trust in a God of unlimited love and mercy. We sin against people because we think we need to take care of ourselves at their expense. Sin is the rejection of God. If we trust in God, we have no reason to sin against each other. Psalm 51 understands that the hurtful things we do to one another come from a refusal to trust in God. Against you only, God, have I sinned and done what is evil. The psalm doesn't really ask for forgiveness. It asks for cleansing and for transformation. Purify me so that I do not sin again. Give me a brand new heart to replace this old one that gives in to fear so easily. The Apostle Paul experienced his forgiveness so deeply that it transformed the way he saw God. It might seem like he makes excuses for his sins. I acted ignorantly in unbelief. But he also says that his ignorance made him foremost of sinners because he persecuted the followers of Jesus with violence. And yet Jesus was able to forgive him. Although Paul was merciless to the followers of Jesus, Jesus was merciful to Paul. Paul is the proof that God has no interest in smiting or punishing sinners, because if anyone deserved smiting, it was Paul. But in fact, God, the immortal King of the ages, took on human flesh for the sole purpose of rescuing us from the power of sin. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If we think God gets angry when God feels betrayed, how do we reconcile that with Jesus, who, on the night in which he was betrayed, picked up some bread and gave thanks to God? Jesus stands with those who betray and those who are betrayed. Jesus stands with those who commit sin and with those who are harmed by sin. Jesus stands with us and proclaims God's love for us, a self-sacrificing love willing to suffer and die so we can be set free from suffering and death. Even those self-righteous people who condemn all the sinners around them, they are also among the lost. God won't give up until they too know that they have been found. So when he asks, which of you would, Jesus is asking how far we will go to imitate the steadfast love and mercy of God. Sinners won't ever repent if we don't seek them out and bring them home. We are to do the seeking, the bringing home, and we are to do the rejoicing, and let God worry about the repenting.